Ecclesiastes is a small little book. It's one of the books of poetry. There are five books we call in the Old Testament the poetical books. Some of them you know well, like Psalms and maybe Proverbs, but Ecclesiastes is another one. If you would read in its original Hebrew, you would see the poetry of it and the alliteration and the common Hebrew phrasing. We miss a lot of that in the English. But turn to chapter 4, if you would. And I want to talk tonight for a few moments. I'm going to entitle my message, The Power of Two. And I'd originally wanted to spend some weeks on this subject, and maybe in a year or so I'll research it a little more and get into it. But I think there is something missing in our individualistic, American, Lone Ranger, John Wayne mentality that the Bible teaches, and that is the concept of accountability, of partnering with people in life in different capacities. And we're going to just kind of broach the subject a little bit tonight, but I don't know about you, have anyone been to a any kind of a self-help seminar or read a book or any of that, anyone? That's the problem. None of you have. We're going to sign you up. Okay, if like me, have you been to? I've been to the retreats. I've been to the big, you know, I've been when they pack 15,000 people in a stadium and you all chant, you know, your goals and you confess it to the wind or you read The Secret and all this stuff. And it's all, it all has some good to it. But then statistics show that no matter if it was your church or if it was something you paid $10,000 to go on a cruise and learn the secrets to the universe, that a year later, something in the 90% of people don't show significant change or having reached the goals that they had wanted to at those events or after reading the book or going through the counseling. And I don't think it's because the stuff you got taught or received was bad or faulty. I really think the missing ingredient is the idea of the power of two. Is the idea of accountability. So much of it is predicated upon you resolving, you changing your habits, you starting new things, thinking in new, fresh ways. The problem is, if you look through our lives, a lot of the things that we actually are very disciplined and consistent with are because there are some very entrenched accountability factors associated with it. Now, you don't have to raise your hand because there might be a couple of you crazy people. But how many of you would actually, every day, get to work on time, come back from your lunches on time, and leave after you were supposed to, cleaning up your desk, if your supervisor never noticed or would never ever call you in or never, a couple of you would, but most of us, you know what would happen. I'll get early tomorrow morning. Today I'm going to sleep in a little bit. Or, you know, if it didn't matter, my 30-minute lunch will become 35 minutes, 45 minutes. If it doesn't matter, we just know how that would happen for many of us. Now, accountability isn't always punitive. Accountability can also be a positive. Some of you are like, well, no, I would get there on time. Well, then how many of you would still do all that work if you didn't get your paycheck? Okay, now I probably just knocked off the other couple of you. I mean, there's this accountability. One, there's the negative of someone's going to notice if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to at work. And I'm doing this because there's something very tangible that I want that if I just flake out and don't show up, I'm not going to get paid. And that's going to have all kinds of consequences to my life. And so accountability keeps us entrenched in there. I have friends right now, whether it's losing weight or going to the gym or taking musical lessons. And, you know, they'll be like, oh, I tried to learn the piano for 17 years by myself. And I finally realized, phooey, I just got to take lessons. And now they're actually consistent with it. Oh, I've been wanting to, you know, increase my arm size by another inch for last year, but I finally had to get a trainer. Are they really giving you secrets you couldn't have discovered otherwise? No. You know what that really is? It's called paid accountability. You know that if you're paying them, you're a lot more likely to show up at the gym tomorrow at 2 because you're paying them and they're expecting to see you. If it's just you, you're like, this week for me, I'm like every day back at school so long. I'm like, I want to go to the gym today right after school. Right after school's done, I'm like, okay, right after I take a nap, that's when I'm going. And the nap didn't lend itself that way. Accountability is important in our lives. And I think whether it's the goal you want to reach, whether it's just maximizing what God has in your future, we've got to begin to think of ways to build accountability into our life structures to get where we need to go. Now look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'm not actually going to exegete this passage tonight. It's a pretty simple, but I think you're going to see the point he's making. Look at verse 9. The writer said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. They're more productive, he's saying. For if they fall, one will lift them up, his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. He has no one to help him up. And again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I did back in those days of how they wove something, that there were three different ones that they bound together. And we still see that if you look at a cord, it's actually a lot of little ones made up. I stood recently with my three youngest kids on the Golden Gate Bridge and watching this just huge mammoth structure. And then right before you get on it, there's the big cable, but it's cut to a cross section. And inside are just these little cables, just little individual cables. But there's something like 27,000 of them wrapped up together. And 27,000 of these little wire cables makes this huge cable that literally is suspending an entire bridge and all the cars and people on it. That's what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying, is you've got to get an image of the strength that comes into your life when you unite yourself with the right people for the right ideas in your life. Now, we all know just uniting yourself with someone in some capacity is not necessarily the right move. Some of you have stories to tell. We're talking about healthy relationships, healthy working relationships, healthy romantic relationships, healthy platonic friendships. People that understand, I'm not just in your life to go out and have a drink with you and laugh, but I'm actually in your life to help you get where you need to be going. Do we have that understanding of our friends? Or are we just friends that go out and have a good time? Do we have an understanding that if this is someone I consider as a close friend and he, she wants to do this, achieve this, is struggling with this, then it is partially my responsibility to help keep that person accountable. That is not a popular American view. Our, especially on the West Coast, is your business is your business. I don't interfere. I don't ask questions. I don't judge. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But that's not a scriptural concept. Not about the not judging part. The not getting involved part is not. God has placed people in your life and you in their lives to be someone that when they fall can help lift them up. That when they stumble is there to help them get up. That when they need help, when they can't do it by themselves, you are there with them in all kinds of capacities. Now, we're not going to be able to get real specific tonight, but let's begin by looking, I think, at a couple of things. The Bible teaches what are some of the positive benefits of having people in your life that you are accountable to. We see it all through the Bible. I mean, I was making a list and then I stopped after it just got longer and longer and longer. But whether you see that even in the beginning, Adam and Eve, every day at the end of the day, God came down and walked with them and talked with them in those ancient stories. There was accountability. And then one day it was like, where exactly are you guys hiding? Because they know they had done something that was not right. There was this accountability. And you go all through the Bible, whether it was the first king Saul, who had Samuel to answer to, whether mighty King David and the warrior that he was still was accountable to the prophet Nathan, who came and said, David, you've been doing something you shouldn't have been doing. When you go into the New Testament and the disciples answer to Jesus, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is modeling accountability and says, you know, this is not really what I want to be doing. If it was up to me, I'd like this cup to pass from me. But Father, your will be done, not mine. All through the Bible, you see the concept of God brings people into your life to help you stay on target or you them. What are some of the positive things about this kind of accountability? Motivation. Increased motivation. I think of the gym again. It's a lot of motivation. That's why a lot of us who work out try to have a workout partner, because it just helps the motivation to get out and do it. Yes, I know technically I could get up and do it by myself, but it's just too many excuses, easy to say no. But when someone is in your life saying, come on, we have to do it. And I'll tell, whether it's a running partner or a jogging partner or a workout, I say, now listen, if we're going to do this, do not let me get out of it when it comes time. See, Megan, I made the mistake of not saying that to you. Because we were going to go last Sunday night. We were like, let's do it Thursday. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Okay. Because you got to know with me, if you're going to keep me accountable, if we got to do it, you got to be like, okay, let's go. Oh, it was a long day. No, we're going. That motivation helps when you have someone in your life keeping you accountable. I told my kids, we were somewhere last weekend, and forget what we were eating. Oh yeah, we went to yogurt. Took them to yogurt, and so that, you know, build your own little yogurt, which I love those places because the glutton in me just indulged. So you get like a little bit of ice cream because that's yogurt. It's low fat, I think. I don't want to know. And then you put crumbled Oreos on it and candy corn and caramel and chocolate syrup. Everything is good on chocolate chips, white chocolate chips, macadamia nuts. Just put it all on there. And so I made it, and then I'm like, I can't do it. So I told my kids, okay, you guys eat it and ask them the next time you see it. I say it to them all the time. I don't care if I start begging you, don't let me have it. And they really do it. So do these guys back here. We were on a picnic the other night, and they had a chocolate. And I said, okay, I'm going to have one. Don't let me have any more. And those rascals really would not let me have any more. They weren't looking. It was dark. I tried to sneak one. They slapped my hand and pulled the box away. I'm like, I was kind of kidding back then. It's been 30 minutes. I want a cookie. That's accountability. Maybe in a small way, but in our lives, saying, hey, if that's really important to you, I will stand with you and say no. I'll help you be strong when you're not. Motivation. Another thing about accountability is that it does bring increased chances of benefits, or we might say promotion. A lot of people, especially in the West Coast, are very ruggedly independent. I can do it myself. I'm a self-starter. And you may be. But understand, there's a powerful thing that happens when you make yourself accountable to other people within an organization, within a structure, within a church, within a nonprofit. People get to see your trustworthiness. They get to see your benefit. They get to see and come up. I think we've all seen in life, there are a lot of people that can come onto a scene and have some talents. But if you watch over the long haul, I found in life it's kind of sometimes what I call the plotters that really get places. Those faithful people that have always been accountable, they've always, yes, I can do that, I'll be there on time. But over the long haul, supervisors and bosses and people in responsibility are like, okay, may not be the most fabulously talented compared to some of the flights I've seen in and out of here, but this is a faithful person. They've stayed through the thick and the thin. They've been accountable. They haven't always had it easy. They didn't run out when things didn't go their way. And that afforded them in the long run a lot of opportunities. Sometimes people, you just got to stick through it. It's not always going to be easy at your job. It's not always going to be easy in that organization. It's not always going to go your way. But something I think you can't beat God at His Word. If you're faithful and you show faithfulness, the Bible says if you're faithful in little, then God will give you much. Show your faithfulness, be accountable, and see what God will allow to open up your way. Three, another thing that happens. I think that we have great personal growth in our life through accountability. I've talked some about the more obvious ways that we may see accountability, getting to the gym on time or sticking to a diet, but there's a lot of the things in our life that we should be accountable to. Parents. Have we talked to other parents about maybe some of the things we want to change about our parenting? Have we talked to other people about, you know what, I have a tendency when I get angry to kind of fly off and be unkind with my words. Keep me accountable on that. Ask me. I remember someone pulling me aside early in the days of my divorce, and when I got divorced and I had 5 kids, I mean, life was just upside down, right? So I didn't know where it was. And a lot was changing and unemployed and living, bouncing from house to house, trying to find secure. And I remember someone pulling me aside and saying to me, RC, your kids are your priority. And I said, I know they're my priority. I mean, I knew that. He said, but I don't know what to do right now because I can't have them all the time that I should because da-da-da-da. And I remember that person looking at me saying, no, your kids are your priority. And it stuck, and I thought, okay, I can't make excuses that, well, I don't have a real place to stay right now, or I'm staying with someone, and they'll have to be all sleeping in bags around the couch that I'm sleeping on, to be your priority. That's because someone called me on the carpet on it. There are areas in our life that don't have to do with the gym or how much we're eating that friends should be saying to one another, you know, I love you, but I'm going to help you be accountable in this area because I see some things that I'm sure God has so much better for you if you can get strengthened in this area. Understand, don't go looking for people. Those kind of people have to be good friends of yours that you have that right and that platform. But if God has brought you in their life, that's one of the things you're there to do. What else? Right on the heels of that, accountability does bring stronger relationships. It's not always easy to be in relationships that keep one another accountable. It's not always easy to take confrontation from a good friend. It's not always easy to have your partner to always say yes to all your ideas and confront you. But if you'll work through that, you're going to find a stronger relationship in the long run. And there are more, but I'll just end with this one on this point. Added protection is another benefit of being accountable. We see that, I think many of us who've been self-employed, we sense that on an economic scale. It's scary to work for yourself because you don't necessarily have anyone providing your health care. You don't necessarily have anyone providing your insurance if things happen. There's a vulnerability. Well, in life, if you live in that kind of way where you don't allow people to keep you accountable, you don't allow them to know what's important to you and how you're doing and to be vulnerable and to let them know, I'm struggling in this. Could you help me? Call me once in a while and ask me how I'm doing. And you're kind of vulnerable. Having those people in your life adds a layer of protection, of help, that when things hit the fan, those people are there standing with you. If it's just emotional support, if it's real logistic support, they're there for you. If accountability is good, then why do we resist it? Or some of us. Not all of us do. I think there are many reasons. I'll just name some of them. Dishonesty. Dishonest people don't want to be accountable. They learn through the ability of their mouth to say the right thing, but don't look too closely and don't get too involved, lest they'll be found out. Dishonesty keeps us from wanting to be accountable because you've got to be real and you've got to be vulnerable. Two, some of us are just rebellious. Not any of you, but at other churches, they are. Rebellious. There is, in some people's just personality, there's some of us that have that just automatic, what? You know? Who said? Why? That thing in us. And that's not all bad. But it is, we have to be careful because there is a time to submit. There is a time to say, I give up my right to always have the last word or always get my way and say, no, you might have a point. You might be seeing something in me that I'm not wanting to admit. And I won't buck against that because I believe God has maybe brought you into my life to help hone off that edge that needs to work. Another one, slothfulness. Slothful people don't like to be kept accountable. Lazy people, undisciplined people do not like accountability. It's too hard. It makes them have to show up on time, clean the car, get the oil changed on time. I mean, those just aren't fun things. We don't want to be accountable. But get past that so God can bring people in your life to strengthen those areas. One more, and then I'm going to be done with this. Well, two more. Quickly, a big one is fear. Fear of all kinds of things. Fear of being known. Fear of losing maybe what we think other people think about us. Because if I'm really vulnerable, let them know where I need friends in my life to keep me strong, then they would know I have this problem. They would know I drink a little too much. They would know I'm having a dalliance with someone at my job on the side. They would know these things and it would shatter their image. You might find that some of your friends love you more than you know they love you. You've got to face that fear and say, but if I really want to get past this, I've got to become accountable. James said something in his letter to the early believers that as a child I never quite understood. And the older I've gotten, the more I've understood it. He said, confess your sins one to another and be healed. And I always thought, what's... You mean you can just go and confess your sins and then you get over that kind of stuff? No, it's not this magic thing. I think his point was that when we keep things under the shroud and the cover of secrecy, we tend not to ever bring healing to those areas of our life. And how many years, decades, will we believe that lie that says, you can handle it. You'll get over that. You'll learn to deal with that thing. You won't go there again. You won't fall into that trap in the next relationship again. We believe that over and over, and so we don't tell anybody. And yet, come on. How many times have we seen? There is something that happens when you bring, just like a wound, when you bring it out into the open air and say, I'm going to stop letting it fester. It's got to come out so that healing can come to that area of my life. And most time, it's going to be through the people God brings into your life to say, we see the mess, but we love you, and we're going to walk with you through this stuff. You've got to face the fear. You've got to face the pride and get past that. We'll end tonight on real quickly on this. What happens if you don't allow accountability in your life? You're vulnerable in all kinds of areas. You will not, I do not believe, hear me, according to the Bible, I do not believe you will reach God's best in your life without truly having relationships in your life where you are accountable. I just don't believe it. Because God calls us not to be little individual people of God. He's called us as the people of God. The ecclesia, the church. his body. And the New Testament talks so much about that this hand is no good without an arm. And the arm doesn't function without a brain telling it what to do. And so Dan's giftings and Merv's giftings and Joanne's giftings, they all work together to make this healthy whole. As bad as you are, you don't have everything possessed inside of you to make you all that you can be. But through having friends and relationships in your life that will be honest with you, will speak into your lives, and you will give them the right to do that, to call you on the carpet if need be, to say no and to not listen to your excuses and your subterfuge, you will see great growth happen in your spiritual life, in your personal life, in your relationships, in your emotional life, in your financial life. But you've got to lay open your life to the people God has blessed you with. I had other things, but I don't have time. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Your heads are bowed. Let me just read this scripture again. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for all their work. If one of them falls, then the other can lift up his companion. But how sad to the one who is alone when he falls, has no one to help him up. And if two lie down together, they keep each other warm. But it's hard for one to keep warm all by himself. And though one can be overpowered by another pretty easily, two fighting together can withstand him. And a cord that is woven with three strands is not easily broken. God, tonight we hear those ancient words. And we look to areas of our life where we need warmth, where we need protection, where we need added productivity. And God, I believe that in each of our lives, you place people around us that can help us in those areas. Help us become what you want us to be. Help us achieve goals, that dreams that we've held. Help us be brave enough to be real and to open ourselves and be accountable. Holy Spirit, take this message this week. What was just me, blow it from our minds, but what was you, may you bring it to fruit in our lives. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.